Did you see this breaking report?
Well, probably not, since you're holding it over there. So I didn't hear anything break.
We may. This, and it might have something to do with the monsoon. It might not. I don't know. It might have to do with something with the location on what where in the state this is taking place. But Arizona may, we just may, have a new giant pumpkin record coming up here at the State Fair.
Oh, I did see that breaking news. Yeah, well, that's got a lot to do with where he's growing it, because he's been able to grow it all summer where they can't do it here. Yeah, that's Sierra Vista, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
It is. Dean Baker has the current state record for the largest pumpkin of 486 pounds. But this pumpkin,
which I witnessed firsthand being weighed.
Yes, that's right. That was at y'all's old property.
Yeah.
Well, this new pumpkin is 57 days old and has a measurement of 300 inches, which is bigger than any that's ever been measured. So they're thinking by the time they get it plucked and weighed and on the pallet, we may see a new record in Arizona Giant Pumpkin Growers Association.
There's a lot of coffee shops that are foaming at the mouth right now wanting that pumpkin.
Pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting to see where that finishes.
Well, let's get to our calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We've got, about another 2 months before that gets officially weighed and measured. So we'll share it here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mr. Harper, I need some advice.
Harper's not here, but Jay will take it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I need some good shade trees.
Okay.
For a west exposure.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about the type of ground these trees are going to be planted in. Do you have gravel landscape? Is it a desert?
It's gravel, dirt. It's just
okay.
Not going to be
in a grass lawn.
It is not.
Okay. And they're on the west side of the house?
That's right.
Okay. And what kind of irrigation system do you have?
Yet to be.
Yet to be. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're going to probably hand water them for a while with the hose or something?
Yeah. I'm going to put in some landscaping, some formal irrigation.
Okay. So you're just doing some planning ahead. Okay. Great.
Exactly.
Well, I think it is, on the west side, I think maybe possibly deciduous or semi-deciduous, so they lose their leaves in the winter and you get a little bit of free heating with the winter sun.
Okay.
I would suggest perhaps the Red Push pistache. They're a fabulous tree. You're seeing more and more and more of them around. They're very drought tolerant. They do need watered, but so do our mesquites and palaverdes here for
sure,
a while,
sure.
To get them to size. But that would probably be, my first choice. Chinese elm, I think, would be another choice. It's kind of semi-deciduous. It'll thin out, if not drop all of its leaves in the winter. But I would sure investigate those two, and they're both very adaptable to drip or type irrigation, and will do very nicely in non-turf type applications.
Okay. Could you just repeat that first one? You said red?
Red push, like you're pushing a cart.
Yes.
Red push pistache, like pistachio, but leave the E-O off of it. Pistache.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate it, Marty, and they call it that because when it pushes on its new growth, it's very red on the ends, so you get a green and red combined tree. It's a beautiful tree.
Dark, dark, dark green with that red. And then in the fall, in the winter, they have a very brilliant crimson foliage that turns before it falls off. So it's a great tree.
I've got three of them, and I plan to put three more on the west side of our arena to shade the stalls and the chutes in the return lane, just where everyone sits while they're waiting their turn for their runs. And how little I have taken care of them, I'm very impressed on how well they have done.
They're pretty bulletproof. Yeah, there was an old property on McKellips Road down the road from where we were in Mesa that got built right, about 07, early 08, just as, the economy took a dive. And it was a little strip office kind of a property, and it just got abandoned. And at the end of the day, after 2 or 3 years, when somebody finally bought it and started rehabbing it, you know, the water was turned off. Those red push pistache, even a lot of the desert plantings, you know, low water plantings died. Those red push pistache never missed a beat. They did fine. That's a great testimony for that tree.
As we were talking earlier, it is fall planting season. The hardest thing when it comes to seed planting for me is thinning.
Okay. Because you don't want to, or no. You just don't do it?
Both.
Okay.
It's growing. I planted it there to grow. Why pull it out now?
Well, thinning is an interesting thing. You know, with fruit trees, peaches, you know, apricots, plums, they certainly overproduce. They need, if you want nice big peaches and you don't want your tree to break, you've got to thin them, right? So we, same way with a lot of your vegetables, if they're too close together, they just get stretchy and spindly. And you know, if it's a root crop, you know, they'll start actually coming up out of the ground because there's no room for them to grow. So you've got to take that into account. It's very hard to plant seeds, you know, and space them out. Some varieties you can find. You don't see as much of it, and I'm not sure why, but you can buy seed on a tape. It's actually on a little piece of paper, and they're kind of glued to it, and they're done in the proper spacing. So you dig your little, you have your garden prepped and ready to plant, and you kind of make a little groove or a little trench, and you put that tape, you lay it in that trench and stretch it out. Fill it in. Those things germinate and come up in the exact spacing that they need to be. If you can find things, especially like carrots, that are done that way, it's a marvelous way to plant them. Another little tip is to take your seed, put it in a jar or a coffee can, and then take some like play sand or fine sand. You don't want to use probably real coarse stuff, or you can just use good potting soil. Fill the can full of that and then shake the heck out of it. Get that seed so it's all mixed together with that soil or sand material. And then shake it out in your little trench. That soil or that sand will act as a spacer or as a filling mechanism so that the seeds don't just all come out in clumps together. It's not going to be perfect, but it certainly is a way to do it. And, of course, then the last thing is just to go through after they germinate and just force yourself to do it. Or just get a neighbor to come over that doesn't care and just say, I want these 6 inches or a foot apart. Do it for me because I don't have the heart to do it.
And the reason the packaging says to overplant is you can never guarantee 100% germination.
Well, nothing's going to be 100%, you know, even if you could guarantee it. So the best you're going to do is probably in the 90s. Well, if you get 90%, you're going to have more than you need anyway. So, you just do the best you can, and then you just have to come back and thin them out based on the crop that you're planting, how it should be done.
Well, let's pull off the highway here into Marana and see how we can help Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I have a west-facing wall. It's 40 feet long, 30 feet high at the peak, and that wall just roasts in the western sun. I don't have room for red push pistache, which are awesome trees, and I was wondering if I could put in an arbor or something of cat claw, but... are they deciduous, and will I end up with a lot of leaves in the pool? Because my wife would rather have the west side of the house roast than clean leaves out of the pool.
How far from the pool is the wall?
About 12 feet.
Well, you'd have no problem if it's 12 feet with a vine like cat claw. Because, you know, they're going to fall straight down. They're not that light. They don't have a lot of flowers that would blow into your pool like a bougainvillea might. That'd probably be my first choice. That, or there's a cat claw has a cousin called Tangerine Beauty Crossvine.
And will it handle the heat? Because yep. It gets toasted.
It will. Fall, you're coming up to a great time to get those planted and established so they have almost a full year before it gets hot again. So do them in the fall. You shouldn't have any issue with either one of those with heat. And those would be the two fastest growing vines that I could think of that would take care of that for you.
Oh, thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a wonderful weekend and day.
You too.
Appreciate the call. He's mentioned the red push pistachios in Moran. He's not far from old Bernie's grow site there.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Those are all propagated and grown right here in the state of Arizona. He kind of the grafter. I don't know if you can call him inventor, but he's the grafter that's kind of put that tree together.
He certainly introduced it to everybody and made it the tree of the popularity that it is.
Yeah. And you're going to see a lot of those. We were talking at the Arizona Community Tree Council, I guess it was 2 years ago, just how different it's going to look in 15 years.
I think my prediction is there will be a lot less hybrid or thornless or Desert Museum Palaverdes than there are now. Well, there's a lot less of them now than there were 2 weeks ago because a lot of them blew down.
The wind and rain took care of that.
I think the smart money would be on replacing a lot of those with Chinese pistache, red push pistache, Chinese elms, Southern Heritage live oaks. I think we'd be a lot happier.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.